Chapter 12. Jimmy.
You goddamn liar, I shout in Brian's face. You... But of all the crazy things he might lie about, not that. Nobody's going to lie about that. Bees is the enemy, the thing that keeps you up at night. Bees is the other Martian, the one that might any moment reappear from wherever the fuck it's been and just kill us all, sabotage our power, destroy the canopy, end Hell City. Bees is outlaw tech they purged from Earth after they realized how big and dangerous it got. Sugar looks from me to His Honor, the goddamn ambassador. I mean, she says lazily, I'm not back in Jimbo's play here. But you want to maybe give us some fucking context, Bri? Brian's expression is like he's full-on constipated with religion. Bees and me gone way back, to when we sign on with Build Mars. You not ever think about Bees is on Mars already? You not ever think she got curious about who her neighbor's gonna be? She called me up, me, few others. She's talking me round, about when they've been prepping us for modding, man, changing the headwear when it go into my head, in ways they never tell. He smiles blissfully. Been Bees, man, since 'fore we ever came to Mars. Why? I ask, horrified, like actual insects are about to come crawling out his nose and ears. Bees is wonder, man, Brian tells me. You happy building a city for the fellas from Earth? Come be rich in? Bees is building the big things. Okay, Sugar breaks in. So you're some weird-ass species traded deviant type. Fine, I can work with that. So what, Bees in there? You got a passenger like my man Jimbles here? For a moment, I'm sure that's it, and Brian Day will turn into nothing but a meat puppet, mouth open, and the voice that comes out, nothing but buzz. Bees Labub, Lord of the Flies. But he's shaking his head, smirking, and he's sure as goddammit the same annoying son of a bitch he always has been. Nope, he says, like he's won some super clever riddles contest. Just add up. Just got my headwear upgrade. Better than you. Just building the future on Mars, man. Like we all. But Bees, she give me all the briefing now she knows what's gone down. Bees contact with back home, a bit patchy, but she's caught up, man. She knows what you got in there now. That package got sent, meant for her. Are you going to say it's not for her now? Sugar, I say hoarsely, do not fucking give me to Bees. Adults talking, she tells me. And I ain't discussing sender ID here, Bri. I just got offered a big slice of pie to hand your man here over to admin, and I am seriously considering taking it. So what's it to Bees? Brian's still smiling, unnatural fuck that he is. You got a friend of Bees there, old friend, good old. Or a copy of her, at least, comes the voice from Honey's speaker, which I'd forgotten was even there. Miss Sugetsu. Shut, she tells her, though I don't think she kills the speaker. Mr. Day, I reckon you do come from who you say. And I'm sure you come crammed full of threats and promises that I may or may not believe. And in due course, I am going to weigh those up with the very real benefits of just handing Jimbles over to the powers that be. But, and she leans forwards in her throne, staring at Brian like he's a piece of art she can't quite work out. You and Honey maybe tell me just what the fuck, frankly, because this smells like some rich man's trouble. And I want to know the wider geopolitical implications before I sell Jimbles here to someone. And I want you all to know that. However this shakes out, it is my call. And Murder and Marmalade here are going to make sure it goes how I want. But first, I want to understand. And I never saw this side of her before. I mean, she's a small-time operator, but Hell City is a small fishbowl, so she always had decent leverage, even one bear short of the full Goldilocks. But this isn't Sugar the hustler, the data broker, the fixer. This is Sugar taking envoys from bees and showing a keen interest in world politics. And then she says, "This is Wally Thompson business." "Warner Stern Thompson," Honey corrects her. "And yes, it is." Now, I don't give a crap for news from home, but I'd seen the man on the screens. Plenty of the BM workforce followed him, and mostly I knew he was always sounding off about bees and disint being a bad thing, which was fine by me. "I've been sent over here to give bees information about him, I believe," Honey explains. "Information not to be trusted to a simple transmission. So they made a transmission out of me." All very goddamn philosophical. "I am still reconstructing my memories, but it'll come to me, Miss Sugetsu. This is very important. I am gaining a great sense of threat in connection with Thompson." Sugar shrugs. "Ain't nothing to me." "Thompson funds Braintree," Honey says, which ain't nothing to me, but Sugar obviously gets it. I have to be reminded that's the lab that fitted out our headwear, and according to Honey, is now doing all sorts of experiments on felons. What sort of experiments? Honey doesn't know, of course. Bees doesn't know.
"Humus said bees had a plan they were putting into action," says Honey,
although she doesn't say what Humus has to do with anything.
"To crack Braintree. To get down to the truth of what they're doing there."
"Maybe," Brian shrugs. "Ain't gonna tell me now, is she?"
"She been talking about BM data architecture, though. How Hell City been set up. All the cloud spaces. She find that mighty suspicious, man."
"They set it up like that so she couldn't get in," I point out. "So no wonder." Brian turns a look on me like I'm 5 years old and asked where babies come from.
"You believe that?" "Maybe it's true species traitors like you get taken out," Sugar says.
And I feel just this tiny bit happier, because apparently she's on my side of the argument just a little. Doesn't mean I don't get sold to bees in the end, though.
"You got anything in your memory box about prisoner dilemma logic, Honey?"
Brian says lazily, but Sugar's had enough of his hand on the wheel.
"You get nothing from her till I've decided I'm selling, Bri, and then not till you pay."
Brian blinks at her, and despite murder and marmalade right there, the dumbass is supremely unconcerned.
"You gonna start talking prices?"
Sugar leans back.
"Honey's going to start talking," she says. "Too many missing pieces right now. I sell a thing. I want to know what it's worth and to who."
"To whom?" says Honey's speaker. And there's this frozen kind of pause where Sugar just stares at me like it's my fault until the speaker adds in a small voice,
"Sorry, force of habit.
Tell me what it is between you and Thompson. 'Cause it ain't just you being a bear, right?"
"Being a what?" I put in. Sugar is enjoying herself.
"You don't know you got a bear in your head, Jimbles? Honey, there's some big shot brainy bear. Done TV, done rallies. Political bear, ain't you?"
"I've been many things," Honey says guardedly. "And you know Thompson's all for restricting the rights of bioforms and flat out outlawing free distributed intellects like bees. And bees and I go way back. And there was a speech I made that I feel, in retrospect, drew the battle lines between us."
Sugar nods, eyes half closed.
"I feel in retrospect," she echoes. "You hear that, Jimbles? That's what a million-dollar education sounds like if you gave it a voice. Costs more than all our bio-mods, those fancy words do. So you stand up and tell the world how Thompson's a shit? Tell them he cheats on his taxes and beats his wife?
Only that newscast never made it to Mars.
Not exactly. Honey's still being cagey. It's just, it was a general observation about structures of authority.
Damn, Sugar says, nodding appreciatively. You keep laying down those $1,000 words. I love it. And I think she's being sincere. You don't get to hear people talk like that around here. It's almost entertainment on its own.
It's just, well,
Honey pauses, and I can almost feel her shunting bits and pieces of her mind together inside mine.
You do your work here, right? And some of you are better at the work than others. Some of you give your all to the job. Every waking moment, it's your calling. Some of you phone it in a bit, but you've got other things going on. I'm willing to bet that you, Miss Sugatsu, don't put quite the hours in on the construction site that some people do. Am I correct?
Sugar snorts. So, tell me something new, honey.
Well, that work, that's what I called the game. But then let's say you're admin. They want to appoint a manager, a foreman. It's a good job, nice perks. Who gets it?
Whoever kisses the most asses, Sugar tells her promptly.
Ah, Honey's pleased. I wish some of my peers back home grasped things as quickly as you do. And yes, although I'll admit I phrased it in rather different language, that is the conclusion I came to. That there's a metagame. It's a bit like, the metaphor I used was animal mating displays, actually. You're familiar with those.
Sugar's got a look on her like she's not entirely sure what Honey's accusing her of. And Honey obviously reads the room, because she adds quickly,
so, let's say you're a peacock, and you have your grand tail, which likely evolved because it shows health and well-being, hence fitness. But that pea hen just cares that you've got the biggest tail. Or, you've got your caveman in the Stone Age, brings a mammoth in to show he's a big hunter. You with me? And hunting's the game, the actual important activity that's being judged. Except Og, next door, just bonks Thog on the head and steals the mammoth. And that's the metagame. Og's a lousy hunter because he spends his time and effort not on hunting, but on the secondary activity that's supposed to show how good a hunter you are. And so he wins out over Thog, gets the girl, becomes chief. And your worker, who kisses ass, is seen as management material, not because they give their all to the company, but because they spend that effort they would otherwise give to the company on looking like they give it all to the company. They spend it on all the little social games instead, and because effort spent on the metagame is focused entirely about the appearance of virtue, it overshadows those who are actually performing the primary task. It overshadows actual virtue. And this is how human hierarchical structures end up working. This is why the people who end up in authority are generally not those focused on whatever the purpose of the community is, but those who are focused on achieving positions of authority. This is why you have career politicians. Why administrators end up pulling 10 times the salary of a surgeon or an academic under their administration. Why performing well in an exam or a test is not actually the same as being good at the thing the exam is supposed to be testing. Because the metagame outweighs the game. And she stops speaking, and we all chew over that, until at last I say, so what? Way of the world, ain't it? Us poor hard-working Joes and Jills get screwed. Yeah, I'm with Jimbles, Sugar agrees. I mean, okay. Can see why a bunch of people might not have wanted to take that from a bear, but
I might have gone a little further, Honey admits. I was off script then, and I remember them trying to shut me up. But I had been having a frustrating time of it, and I just said some things. My higher-level metagame theory.
Yeah, that sounds all kinds of controversial, Sugar drawls.
I said they were so scared of bioform intelligence and disint entities and AI, Honey goes on. I said they were panicking so hard about non-human minds jostling for space in the world, desperate to make us think like humans, and simultaneously terrified that they might succeed. And they hadn't even seen that there was a very different intelligence already right there, in the center of things. I suggested that, above and beyond the regular metagame, that meant the people who achieved status and power were by definition the least qualified to have it. And you'll appreciate, I was actually talking to a number of human people in possession of a fair measure of status and power. So I had already got right up a good number of noses by this point. Anyway, I said that just as metagamers could hack organizational structures and procedures to promote themselves without needing to be good at the primary task of the organization, so there were people out there who could do it to human society. Sociopaths of a kind, essentially, who would give out all the right signals to get people to do things for them without ever actually having what you'd think of as a truly human existence inside their head. People who were just masks, terribly adroit at playing the human metagame without any of the empathy, the genuine connections, the internal life. And in the same way as your ass-kisser gets the managerial position, so the human metagamers win out over those people who are devoting time and effort to actually being human. And they were busy campaigning against bioforms and disint and the rest because we weren't human. We weren't the environment they'd adapted to exploit. Because we would see what they were and call them on it. And that, I'm afraid, is what caught like a hook in the nasty little machine that Warner S. Thompson calls a mind. Because I would respectfully suggest that, regardless of the respective species we were both born into, I think far more like a human than he ever will.
That's so, Sugar shakes her head, smirking. Sure explains how shit works. So
old man Thompson's a vampire, am I right?
What? It is a joy, let me tell you, to hear Honey's pompous voice flat out baffled.
No.
What? Sugar says, and I share a moment with her because she's enjoying this too.
Looks like a person does all that smooth human talk. Knows what to say, so's you let him in, and then his fangs out and fucks you over.
Honey's electronic voice still comes over as thoughtful.
Perhaps you're right, a parasite. A parasite that prospers because it presents an exaggerated performance of its host species, salient characteristics. Not just passing for human, but passing for superhuman. Putting out all the tells so that you think you're super confident, super dynamic, super inspiring, exactly the man to follow to the ends of the earth, far more so than anyone who actually has any reason to be confident or to be worth following.
So what you're saying is, Sugar's grinning like a cat, I could sell you to Rufus for scrip and favors, or I can sell you back home to Thompson for a great big bag of real money.
That was not the conclusion I was intending you to come to,
Honey says.
Shame you're not one of those super manipulators then.
What? She cocks an eyebrow at Brian.
You going to sweeten Sugar's pot for Honey, bees man? Only I can't promise just how much time you got to go take further instructions.
Bees told me enough, and Brian still doesn't seem worried. Got his hands in his overalls pockets, shoulders slumped, doing precisely buck nothing, just like he usually does at work.
Bees got eyes on Earth, on Thompson. Not so many, though. After they tried legislate against bees back then, she got a choice, man. She gonna kick off World War III then and there, and maybe lose because she wasn't ready. She gonna pull back to the colony she made on Mars? You know what she did? Bees not got so much coverage back on Earth, got plenty muscle here, sugar.
That a threat, Bri? Bees gonna come sting me?
You? Brian's shrug says Bees doesn't care a goddamn about sugar.
Over honey here, Bees doesn't do vengeful sugar. Bees not gonna come get you cause you sold her friend. Bees gonna come get her friend, though. And Bees gonna declare war against Hell City if Bees reckons it's a threat to her. All Hell City, you just gonna be collateral damage. Sin your interest to make Bees happy about all of us being here.
And if I send you back after you've been shit out by a bear, Sugar says pleasantly,
Bees not going to be too happy.
Brian hunches forwards, and he's still got that smile, and I am more scared of him than murder or marmalade, because this is it. This is sheer crazy-ass religious fanaticism. Only instead of God, Brian Day found bees.
Bees gonna survive, man, he says. Bees gonna do a lot of good for everyone. We only give her the chance. But first law of bees is bees gonna survive. You don't want to be part of a thing that maybe means Bees doesn't survive. Cause Bees gonna fuck that thing right up. You know it.
Mr. Day, please explain why Bees thinks Hell City might become a threat.
Honey breaks into the nasty pause Brian's little speech flung up.
Is it to do with Braintree?
On the work they did on the humaniform neuralware.
That's the Thompson link to this place.
It's the only reason I can think that I sent this copy of me over to find you.
And of course the humaniforms are us, Sugar and me, and everyone else who got fitted out by the Building Mars guys.
She ever talked to you about the Southampton method?
Brian asks.
She talked to you about Axelrod prisoner tournaments?
That's enough. Sugar decides, and I know she's turned off the speaker, because Honey's suddenly bitching in my ear about it.
What's Bees offering me except vague threats, Bri? What's Bees got that's more than some rich earth guy's bag of cash? Gonna offer me all the kingdoms of Mars, make me Duchess of Olympus Mons? Come on, Bri, what's your pitch?
Maybe you all be needing Bees when it turns. Brian says, like he's some Old Testament prophet striding out of the rust-orange desert. Bees don't know just what yet. Bees still trying to get into Braintree, find out the plan. But she's got the shape of it.
Bad news for Hell City, Sugar.
Bad news, and who gonna stand between you and the end? You're gonna need Bees, and if Bees done call her up, maybe it's because you're gonna need Honey, too.
You sell her back to the bad men back home. You got no one when they come for you. And maybe Bees don't care enough to save you, either. Bees don't care about so much these days. Bees got big plans. Going places she don't need think about humans. Bees don't like us very much, man.
Not since she did all that work and we turn on her.
That ain't much of a pitch, Sugar tells me. The weird thing is, though, she's doing all the casual act in the world, but it's not quite sticking. Yours truly sees through it. Sugar's heard some things. I'll put hard script down on it. Something of what Brian's telling her is ringing bells, and I think of Honey saying how our headwear that Braintree made for us is way more than we need, and since when did anyone overspend on working schmoes like us when they didn't need to?
Back when I knew bees, back in the beginning, Honey says sweetly in my ear. Her attitude was that killing people was what she was for. I think she's come along quite a way, don't you?
You, I tell her, are a fucking barrel of laughs. Then Sugar's standing, just kicking up from a crate thrown in one movement, and the two bears are on the move, too. For a moment, I think she's going to set them on Brian, send his head back to bees as a declaration of war. Brian, by the way, doesn't goddamn flinch, even though I'm cowering back from all the violence and mauling I'm sure must be about to happen.
Posse's coming, Sugar says flatly. Looks like old Doggo ran out of patience, or got fresh orders from Adman.
So what? I realize I haven't had much to say for a long time. Grown-ups were talking, like she said, and I don't know jack about Southampton Method or any crap like that. You're going to sell me to the sheriff now? I don't reckon you've got a chance to make your deal with this Thompson guy.
Sugar looks at me like she's forgotten I was anything other than virtual bear storage. We're moving, she decides. Murder, take point. Jacob will stall them as long as he can.
One of the bears shambles past me, the rivet gun held in both hands, and when I'm not right on her heels, Sugar gives me a shove in the chest.
You got control of your legs right now, Jimbles? 'Cause I need you using them.
I end up scurrying off into the back end of Storage 19, into a warren of crates and stacked cases, empty, full, legit, illegal, who the hell knows? Murder's just shouldering on ahead of me, Sugar and Brian behind, and then Marmalade's got rear guard, rolling along on 4 feet like most bears seem more comfortable with, even after all the bioform mods. Then there's shooting, and we all stop for a second until Sugar hisses an order and Murder's off again, shouting, and I reckon that probably marks the end of her man Jacob's ability to stall. Actual firearms activity within Hell City, and the reason we have the bad news bears is that you don't go letting off weapons inside, in case parts of the inside become joined to the outside by inconvenient goddamn holes. And yes, we're not like the moon men, or like natural earth people would be, where one little hole means decompressive death or suffocation. But it's still going to screw with a whole load of the internal machinery that doesn't have the cold, pressure, or dust tolerances of the tough kit we use outside. And also, Sheriff Rufus just shot a guy, maybe more than one. Just shot an actual member of the Hell City construction crew because of what I've got in my head. And suddenly, I get a whole horizon of perspective I never wanted. Suddenly, it's not just me, because I don't know who the fuck Jacob is, but he just died because of Honey and because of yours truly, Jimmy Martin. Then there's the back door of Storage 19. Which is an interesting development, because on the plans there is no back door to Storage 19. It's rimmed with messy wheels of melted metal, where Sugar's people cut too big and then had to fill to get a seal around their new hatch, and it's only just big enough for Murder to squeeze through. Behind us, I can hear Rufus shouting, and for a moment, he's in my ear, on my radio channel, midway through a threat I never hear the end of. Sugar's jamming comms, jamming tracking, putting her makeshift systems to the test to screw any attempt to pin us down. Probably she's just brought down the network for storage 3 through 30 to cover for us.
Sugar's the sort of person who goes big on contingency plans. Then there's shooting ahead, too, and the bing, bing, bing of the rivet gun, and Murder bellows. I stop, but Sugar shoves me through anyway, and Murder almost treads on me as I roll out. She's fighting. I see Albedo, the fat cat bioform whose Rufus is second. Behind her, there's a Badger model, also badged up as part of the posse, holding a big caliber pistol and trying to get a good shot. Murder's living up to her fucking name, though, and though Albedo's doing her best, there is red blood and white fur everywhere. Go, Sugar tells me, and I don't need another reminder. I leg it. And at every turn she's yanking me one way or another, backseat driving the escape plan without ever telling me actually where we're heading. And then we're at a hatch I know is one of the old exterior locks from Stage 2 construction, way back. App, she says. I turn to look at her. What? Like, outside out? What? Your mods fell out while you were running? This is your plan? I demand. Sugar's face is like iron. There's no giving it. Out, Jimbles, or I'll have Marmalade tear your arms and legs off to make you easier to carry. You have to fucking go. Going out there is literally your fucking job. And so what is the fucking problem? We can't just run, Sugar. We can't stay out there forever. It doesn't work like that. Maybe we can... Murder's down, Sugar tells me. They are coming for us, and I will kill you and that thing in your head before they kill me, because they want it, and they have fucked with me. Rufus just shot Murder right this moment, Jimbles, and you and I are going out for a walk, because there is nowhere inside Hell City we can get away from Rufus.